You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
You're more the crazy, irresponsible fun guy than the serious, brilliant, successful guy.
You don't know. At least I'm not the guy who just reads about people who do stuff guy. I could be a bigger deal than Beaks in 3 years tops. I'll pay for that in 3 years. I am very sorry.
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 7, The Infernal Internship of Mark Beeks. I am one of your hosts, Curtis Findlay.
I'm your other host, Michael Cohen.
And we have we have no news today, so we're going to skip right over that part. Unless you have something, Mike, I forgot to ask.
No, nothing happened this week. Nothing really. I mean, like, it's actually been, we've been kind of like chock full of news the last few weeks, but it's starting to look like we're going to get a bit of a break in the new episodes coming up in a couple weeks. And
yeah, we won't have any new info for a little while.
Yeah, and all of that Funko kind of dumped all of those details about all of the merch that they're putting out all at once. So that kind of puts us in a position of just kind of waiting for stuff to happen. But No news, nothing of note, but I'm sure that that soon we'll get a little bit of news about the back end of this season and when we can expect to see more episodes. But for now, we're just going to talk about the Infernal Internship of Mark Beeks, which I challenge our listeners to try saying five times fast. You will get tongue-tied, I'm sure.
Well, here's the episode description. Huey competes with Dewey for a coveted internship with Duckburg's newest tech billionaire, Mark Beeks, while Scrooge and Glomgold team up to take this new competitor down. Air date, October 21st, 2017. Writer, Colleen Evanson. Director, John Aoshima. And I'm going to say right off the bat that I wasn't really a fan of this episode. Probably my least favorite of the ones that have come out so far.
This episode is probably the furthest afield we've gotten from classic DuckTales. It is a very 2017 story. There aren't a lot of our characters in this. in fact, there are only four. Huey, Dewey, Scrooge, and Glomgold.
Yeah. None of them are the main character of this episode.
Yeah.
And that was my main problem, was that we focused, like, the whole episode, the main character was Mark Beeks, this new guy that we don't know, which I'm fine with new characters. I encourage them to add in stuff, and that's totally fine. But not as a main character, because I'm there to watch Scrooge McDuck and the nephews.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the fact that we haven't gotten a single one of these adventure episodes yet makes this one a little bit harder to swallow. I think there are some really great jokes in this episode, but I think that the biggest issue is that this episode is actually a little bit mean-spirited, and it's kind of directed, that mean spirit is directed at Silicon Valley and that whole sort of tech ecosystem of business. And And for good reason. Our perspective in the show is Scrooge McDuck and his family. And Scrooge is obviously adversarial towards Mark Beeks. So the tone should be adversarial to a certain degree. But there's a little bit of it that is... These jokes are getting a little tired and they're a little bit low hanging fruit, in my opinion, when it comes to the stuff like the beanies and the, oh yeah, just do whatever you want sort of thing. It's like,
right.
We've been hearing this comedy for probably the last like 5 or 6 years. And this episode didn't have anything new to say about that. It was only sort of, you know, like sort of jabbing at the idea of like the millennial on your cell phone sort of aloof nature of 20-somethings in current day business. But
my other problem, though. My other problem was I watched this with my 6-year-old and my 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And they didn't understand anything that was going on. This is an episode that was geared to our age.
Yeah.
And had concepts that went way over their head, so they didn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And the thing I like about DuckTales is that we have, it's a clear division of good and bad.
Yeah.
There always is the obvious, here's the good guys and here's the issue, here's the problem, and here's and then even if Scrooge ends up being the bad guy of the episode, he understands what happens in the end and redeems himself and makes it clear that what he was doing was wrong. In this episode, we have Mark Beeks, who is not a good guy, but he's also not a bad guy. He's a neutral character. So how do we root for him? I didn't find really any redeeming value in Mark Beeks at all.
Yeah, definitely not in Mark Beeks. Scrooge does have a good moment towards the end of the episode, and it's in relation to his subplot with Glomgold, where he realizes after he finds out that Glomgold's going to betray him, and then Glomgold tries to kill him, that he's been wasting his time. My problem with this is that it's such a throwaway moment, and because it's the B plot, it's even more so throwaway. But he has a great line where he goes, I've wasted almost an entire day hating someone really for no reason, when I could just be out proving that I'm better than him by being a better billionaire, he says.
Right. Yeah.
But exactly. And what he means by that is like putting in the hard work, which is a lesson that's been sort of ever present throughout this series, and it's sort of Scrooge's go-to. And I think it ties into the core of that character, the smarter, the tougher than the toughies and smarter than the smarties, right? What that means is that like Scrooge puts in the time, he puts in the effort when he says things like, you can't just dive into the money bin. It takes years of muscle memory and practice. Even the silly things in this show aren't taken for granted, but that moment is absolutely just thrown away, just like kind of swept under the rug, because we're more focused on Mark Beeks and his fake Google Facebook.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, like the focus is kind of in the wrong place. But that said, I do have some favorite moments in this episode. I know I've got a couple more than you do.
Yeah.
But
okay. Go for it.
One of mine is very early on in the episode when Huey and Dewey are sort of escorted out of
the billionaires
room, and they have to go wait. I love it because there's like a kid area, and it's just like sort of 4 feet by 4 feet behind these velvet ropes, and there's the suit of armor next to it, and Huey and Dewey are supposed to kind of be in this area, be stuck in this area behaving, right, sort of like on their best behavior, and Dewey is reaching just outside the velvet rope and screwing around with the suit of armor. And talking to Huey about, oh, Mark Beeks. And he's like, whatever. I could totally accomplish that. I could become a tech genius in at least 3 years. And then as he's saying that, he pulls on something on the armor and the whole thing comes crashing down. And he goes, I'll pay for that in 3 years. And it's just sort of this really great setup and punch. I based on almost like ancillary action going on off to the side that wasn't really important until it became important. Right. And I just thought that was like a really great, really well crafted comedy moment. I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoyed Flintheart through this entire episode. Yeah. I thought that he was hilarious. I like. A lot of people have been saying online they don't like how Flintheart's being used, that he's not menacing or whatever, but he was not usually the biggest threat in the original DuckTales either.
Yeah.
But he wasn't ridiculous like he is in this version. But I'm liking his comedy though, and I like his slideshow that he makes. And he doesn't just make a slideshow; he makes like multiple slides showing action and like someone falling off of a bridge, and like it's not just to illustrate a point, it's like to like animate a point. And he has some great lines, like he's like, then he falls into this pit of this pool of sharks, and Scrooge is like, where did the sharks come from? And he says, I've got a great shark guy.
Yeah.
There's lots of moments like that.
And then, I love it because then later on in the episode, they kind of call back to it when he's looking at the sharks in the tank. He's got that big shark in that little tiny tank. And he's just kind of like, it's just a great callback to that moment.
Yeah, what does he say? Something like, who's going to be a good accessory to evil or something
that. My favorite thing about Glomgold in this series is that it's Craig Ferguson doing the voice of Flintheart Glomgold.
Right.
And Craig Ferguson is Scottish, but he's doing a bad Scottish accent because Glomgold isn't actually Scottish, right? And which is the reference, we've talked about this before, to the fact that in the comics he was South African.
Yeah.
So they've kind of like backstory to that character is that this version of Flintheart is also South African, but he found that because Scrooge is so rich and famous, he's just copying Scrooge, and he's like twice as Scottish as Scrooge, right? Even though he's not Scottish at all.
So he puts on his most Scottish of all Scottish accents.
Yeah, and so I just love that a guy who has... Because Craig Ferguson also does... he does the voice of... He's the blacksmith in the How to Train Your Dragon series.
Oh yeah,
and that's sort of more his regular voice. Yeah, and so like he's got like he's obviously he is Scottish, so he has a good Scottish accent. But then he does a purposely really bad one. And then when you put it up against David Tennant as Scrooge, you put them side by side, and it's like,
oh, it's obvious, yeah.
It's almost like it's such a great talent because it's right on the edge of like grating. He's almost annoying, but it's just right there where it's still funny. And that's it takes a comic genius, which I think Craig Ferguson is. I don't think he gets enough credit. I think he's a pretty funny guy, and he does such a great job with this character, which is why like the A story in this episode is really not that interesting to me, but the B story is just so good, and it makes this episode really worth it for me, amidst everything else that we were talking about before. His slideshow PowerPoint was one of my favorite parts as well. One of the jokes that Mark Beeks makes that I really enjoy which really has nothing to do with his character, but is just sort of a silly joke. It's just kind of a good vaudeville joke. It reminds me of Mel Brooks. It's a very Mel Brooks joke, like something you would see in like Spaceballs, when they're going through the courtyard, doing the tour, and he's like, "Here's the high impact trampolines, the low impact trampolines, and the no impact trampolines." And the no impact trampolines is just a guy standing in a circle. And it's just it's sort of the absurdity of it, and just the great wordplay, and it just plays into this great animation moment as they're going through, and you see these great antic animations, and then a person just standing there, and I never has a still figure in a cartoon been more comically funny than in that moment, I think. So I really like it. It could have been delivered by any character, and that's probably why I like it.
Well, I liked the moment when Huey realizes that his internship is a fraud and sort of kind of loses it. And there's some great animation. This actually, I didn't check which animation studio did this episode, but it had some really great animation. A lot of the characters, when they moved their heads, they didn't just turn their head. They did a bob, or you saw it at a 3/4 high angle or a low angle instead of just a side angle. And there were just lots of stuff in here that was really great. But Huey had some great moments, animation moments in this, when he's going kind of nuts and chewing on the desk. And he's like, "Well, I can make any title I want. I'm the Duke of Making a Mess." And he starts wrecking up the place.
I do love it. So this comes after one of my favorite moments. So my final favorite moment, which is when Mark Beeks dubs Dewey the VP, the Vice President of Fancy Business, which is just such a nonsense title. I can relate to stuff like that. I've been in situations at work where I've put in a lot of time and effort, and then somebody else comes along and just agrees with somebody else and gets a promotion, and it's like, wait, what? So the moment when Huey kind of snaps, and then Dewey's like, "Uh-oh, Huey's broken." It's so good. It's such a great 1-2 punch of this ridiculousness, and Dewey getting promoted to the vice president of fancy business because he figures out sort of the nonsense of everything, and how to play into that. It's one of the redeeming aspects of the episode is Huey and Dewey realizing that together they can outsmart all of these people, right? That Dewey has the sort of adventurousness that Huey lacks, but Huey has the smarts. And when they work against each other, they both kind of fail, even though they both get jobs. They both, neither one of them really ends up happy. But then together they managed to outsmart both was the Falcon guy. I don't remember his name, but him and Mark Beeks, the corporate spy, which was
Falcon Graves.
Yeah. They managed to outsmart both of them by working together, and where Huey's like, "I have a plan. That plan involves Dewey. Go be yourself. Just go Dewey it up." And together they managed to do that. And then you get the great moment of the briefcase bursting open and all the money coming out. And Huey kind of looks at him and goes, "That's got to be $20 million. Where did you get that briefcase?" And it turns out that Dewey had just stolen it from the billionaires club.
Yeah.
Inadvertently. Just kind of lying around.
Golds.
Yeah. So it's overall, I'm inclined to agree with you, Curtis, that the episode kind of lacks merit, and like I said, it feels a little bit mean-spirited, but there are some really, really great jokes contained within that, so it's good to have a silver lining to a gray cloud.
True.
But yeah,
that's why it won't get a zero.
Yeah,
zero
exactly.
Lucky dimes for me. So
it's I say this on Rebel Cells all the time. that formerly Rebels podcast. Bad Star Wars is still better than pretty much anything else. It's like there's no such thing as bad pizza, right? Like that's kind of.
Have you seen those Ewoks movies though?
I have seen those Ewoks movies, and you know what? There's some pretty fun moments in those.
Okay, yeah, I guess so.
And as a kid, when I didn't like Star Wars, surprising, I know. I did like the Ewok adventure movies, even though I didn't actively like Star Wars. So, like I said, all that to say that like DuckTales has Disney magic in every episode, and as a result, there's always something good. There's always something worth watching for. I watched this episode twice, and I enjoyed it. So. Even though, like I said, like there's some stuff that was kind of like, well, that's not really the sort of thing that I want to see from the show. And I would really like it if we got an adventure episode. So hopefully next week, I think that's what we're getting.
Well, let's go on to the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yep.
There's not really a whole lot to say. I mean, we already mentioned that the whole episode is sort of a parody on Google and Facebook and Silicon Valley and stuff. There was one interesting note, though, Frank Ngannou's on his Tumblr page. Someone asked him the question, why didn't you call Mark Beeks Mark Zuckerberg? Like, I put the duck in there. Wouldn't that be the obvious thing? And he said he couldn't for legal reasons. And it looks like Mark Beeks is a pigeon, so he wouldn't have a duck in his name anyway, although Duckworth did, and he is a dog. And that reminds me, Frank Ngannou says that Duckworth has appeared in the show a couple times already.
It's very interesting. I can't put it together.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I haven't been able to figure it out, so hopefully he'll like by the end of the season he'll let us in and be like, yeah,
he's
in this scene and this scene and this scene. And
Or it'll be clear once we do a rewatch after, once we know the secret, we'll be able to see you every time it pops up.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Checking in with our Junior Woodchucks. Here's the Junior Woodchuck podcast.
This is the Junior Woodchuck podcast. My name's Milo.
My name's Peter.
This is the Mark Beeks episode.
Jinx! This duck keeps on getting and gets spear-phoned whenever someone breaks it. But then a bike ran over it and that was his last spare phone.
Yeah, but that's not all.
Brother, you're jinxed.
Peter, it was about this guy that has this company and he tries to be a billionaire, and probably like at the last part, he's a bajillionaire, and then it's on vines, and he like at the end of the thing.
At the end of the episode. Bluey took his phone from him and said, "My face looks like a butt.
Send." And then 100 people already liked it, and it was really funny. My funniest part is when Huey gone out of control.
My funniest part was when Bluey said it on the phone. My face looks like a butt. Send error.
Okay, bye. See you next afternoon.
Send.
Kara.
Hi, Mama.
What did you think of the latest episode of DuckTales, the one with Mark Beeks?
No.
Was it good? Okay.
Okay, Mike, here's the moment that we've all been waiting for.
Oh.
Our very first iTunes review.
How exciting.
Yeah, I know. It's really good, and they did a fantastic job. This is from someone named Disney Heretic, and they say, "This is one of a handful of podcasts I listen to. No podcast is perfect, but these guys do a pretty nice job. They're as good as Goldie. Seriously, you have to be a real Flint heart or have a gear loose not to see that Mike and Curtis bring their own kind of magicka to reviewing DuckTales. They're no Scrooges when it comes to sharing cool bits of trivia that will get the little bulb over your head shining. At times, their observations and those of the junior woodchucks just crack shell me up. If you're looking for a sweet podcast, this is as good a launch pad as any." So, thank you, Heretic. That was brilliant. Wonderful puns. We completely appreciate that.
Awesome. That's too good.
So, yeah, bring them on. We want to see some more.
Yeah. Can you top that?
More.
We'd love to see it in the reviews over on iTunes. Awesome. And do we have an email as well?
Yeah, Jared Boyd emailed us again. I think this might be the third episode in a row that we've talked about Jared Boyd. So, but that's okay. Keep on sending those emails in. Can't say I cared much for the first Gladstone episode or the character. Hopefully Darkwing and Ludwig von Drake will get better treatments when they come around. Yeah, I mean, he has a pretty large email that goes into some other stuff, but I wanted to pick out that in particular because we enjoyed Gladstone in this episode, but there were people that didn't like Gladstone in that episode, so I just wanted to point that out there.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, like, because I think that both of us were pretty happy with House of the Lucky Gander as an episode.
Yep.
And Gladstone, I think, was treated well. Definitely, you know, this version of the character, but still a lot of fun. I think we talked about it that he was actually a little bit maybe more like the character from the comics than the version that was presented in classic DuckTales.
It is by
virtue of the fact that Donald was there. So, and you know, I think, or I feel, I should say, and I know that Kara agrees with me, any episode with Donald featured prominently is a fun episode. So, if Gladstone is an excuse to have an episode that's very Donald centric, then I'm all for it. We're all for it,
right,
Kara and I. So.
Totally.
Because Kara has decided that Donald is her favorite character on DuckTales. And the way that she asks for DuckTales is she says, "Dodo." And that's Donald. So she has this, it's kind of cheating because she has a stuffed Donald because she has a Daisy Duck outfit because Daisy is Crystal's favorite Disney character, like Mickey and Friends character. So, So Kara has a little Daisy Duck outfit, and because she has the Daisy Duck outfit, we got her Donald so that we can dress her up and then sit them next to each other. And so Donald has kind of been ever present, and we've watched a lot of the Mickey Mouse cartoons, the newer ones like we talked about last week. And so she knows who Donald is. I don't think she's super familiar with the rest of the characters yet. But she'll ask for DuckTales, and we watched it tonight before recording this. I rewatched the Mark Beeks episode, and she was excited when it started and then slowly lost interest. And I think it was because Donald's not in the episode.
So no.
she has a definite preference for Donald episodes, and I'm with her on that.
She just didn't understand the corporate espionage aspect of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. She thought it was a little played out. She told me she thought it was a little passé and kind of it's a couple years late to the joke party. So, you know, she's kind of a harsh critic. You guys have heard her reviews in the past. I mean, she's She doesn't have time for any of this, you know. She's a busy 1 year old.
Okay, lucky dime rating, Mike. What are you giving this one?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with two dimes and a nickel. It's right there in the middle. It's not great. It's not bad. If the B plot were focused on a little bit more, it would have maybe gotten 30 cents. The joke at the very end with Glomgold almost pushes it there. Almost. When he shows up on the bike because he's like dressed as a hipster. And I love that he pulls around the corner and he pulls off his mustache and puts his beard back on.
Yeah.
Because it's just too. Like they're really, really playing up the fact that everything about him is artificial.
Yeah.
That he's just so fake. And I love it because it's such a good moment. So that moment like almost pushes it to 30 cents. So you could almost like put a couple of pennies in there, but since we're in Canada, we can't do that because pennies don't exist here anymore.
You got to round up or down.
Yeah.
And I guess you're going to round down in this in this case.
That's where I'm at. How about you?
Yep. Well, I'm going to give it a straight 20 cents.
Oh.
The redeeming factor was the B story with Scrooge and Glomgold, but the rest of it I wasn't thrilled with. So, yeah, unfortunately, it's going to get a pretty low mark from me.
Well, hopefully the next episode will pull up on the stick a little bit and get us back in the air. And here's the description for the living mummies of Thoth Ra. In a lost pyramid, Louis interprets a pharaoh's prophecy to his advantage, forcing Scrooge and Launchpad to convince a group of living mummies to rescue him.
There are some key words in there that already make this episode worthwhile.
Yeah.
Prophecy, living mummies, launch pad.
Yeah, launch pad for sure.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to this actually.
Me too.
It's going to be good to actually get some high adventure. Finally again, you know, Lucky Gander almost gets there, but this episode I feel is going to give us the real deal. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh yeah. I wanted to do the episode ranking on Twitter. I forgot about that.
Yep.
So we asked the question, which is your favorite episode? This is round three. So in the last one, Terror of the Terra Firmians got the boot and we put in Lucky Gander. So here's the ranking. Beagle Birthday Massacre got 0% of the votes this week. Woohoo got 10% of the votes. Great Dime Chase got 30% of the votes, and 60% of the votes went to House of the Lucky Gander.
Wow.
Clear winner. Yeah. Maybe a new favorite.
Pretty definitive. Putting it right at the top of the ranking in its debut. I really like this. I like ranking the episodes like this and listening, sort of seeing how people received the episode. So it's going to be very interesting to see how people received this episode. Because... Right. I think we were pretty harsh on it, and let's see how you guys, the listeners, felt by heading to twitter.com/tuneafternoon and voting in that poll.
Yep. Go and do that right now.
Cool. Well, with that, I think that brings us to a close. We are all done for this week's episode. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, we'll see you next afternoon.
Don't forget you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/tuneafternoon as well as on Twitter at tuneafternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at tuneafternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArcWolf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack. and pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.